The Chosen Ones. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. This morning, we continue with the fallout from the financial crisis, starting with the names that'll be behind the $700 billion rescue package. The government just announced the accounting firms it's selected to manage the plan. PricewaterhouseCoopers will be the auditor for the program. Ernst & Young will provide general accounting support. There are plenty of oh-nos among analysts looking at companies reporting earnings today. Results from Dow Components, Caterpillar, DuPont, and Pfizer are all lower, and a big oh-no in the Midwest. Regional Bank National City reported a much bigger-than-expected loss for the third quarter. The bank says it will cut 4,000 jobs. Remember last week when the government offered to inject money directly into some of the country's bigger banks? Well, half of that $250 billion rescue package has been invested. This morning, there are reports the other half will be used to help strong banks buy their weaker rivals. The question is, should taxpayers be footing the bill for bank consolidation? Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
The government's been trying to fortify banks to get them lending again. Regional banks will soon apply to receive direct investments from Uncle Sam. And the New York Times reports the Treasury will favor those banks that are willing to take over weaker rivals.
Well, as some people say, it has bad optics.
That's banking consultant Bert Ely. He agrees that weak banks need to be acquired before they fail. But if they're bought using taxpayer dollars, that would undermine the purpose of the rescue package.
Cash acquisitions will cause that capital to flow right back out of the industry. And I think that that is totally unproductive, certainly runs contrary to the public interest.
Strong super-regional banks such as BB&T, Fifth Third Bancorp, and SunTrust banks are likely to apply for the Treasury funds. Democrats have argued that the money would be better used to help homeowners avoid foreclosure. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Before the opening bell, the Federal Reserve announced it will buy commercial paper from money market mutual funds, yet another move aimed at battling the credit crunch. So far, the Dow is down 1.1%, 102 points to 91.63. The Nasdaq is down 1.7% by 30 points to 1739. The S&P 500 down nearly 1.5% to 971. European shares started the day higher, but now are edging mostly lower. The initial boost overseas was partly thanks to word from France the country is offering a helping hand to its banks. And the International Monetary Fund said it was coming to Iceland's rescue. European correspondent Stephen Beard has more on that.
We talk about banks being too big to fail. In Iceland, they were too big to save. The country's central bank simply didn't have enough money. Iceland's three main commercial banks had expanded and borrowed so aggressively abroad that their debts are 10 times the size of the Icelandic economy. The banks have gone bust, the currency's crashed, and the country's foreign reserves have run dry. According to press reports, the IMF has stepped in and, with help from Norway, Sweden, Denmark and Japan, is pumping $6 billion into Iceland. The country urgently needs the money to buy basic supplies, including food. Lars Christensen is chief analyst with Danske Bank in Norway.
In reality, Iceland do not have foreign currency to import anything from abroad, which is crucial for various small and open economy like the Icelandic economy. So, in that sense, the situation is quite critical.
The bailout, says Larsen, will save Iceland from disaster, but it won't prevent its economy from shrinking by up to 15%. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Listening to the Morning Report for Tuesday, October 21st on Marketplace.org. As we mentioned, France has just announced it's making billions available to its major banks. The injection is part of the $500 billion European rescue plan for the financial institutions. As Megan Williams tells us, the French government wants the money earmarked for credit to businesses and consumers.
France's top six banks will each get a proportional slice of a $14 billion pie. In exchange, they have to start lending to people and businesses. France is in a recession, and its finance minister says growth for the next year likely won't even reach 1%. Banks have so far kept a tight lid on any cash they have. But the government money comes with conditions. The banks will eventually have to pay back the cash after they've met other debts. And French banks also will have to comply to new orders to rein in executive pay. This week, Germany and Sweden did the same. That puts the number of European countries to cap executive compensation at six. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Today, billions of dollars could change hands as a result of the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy a month ago. It's the deadline for sellers of so-called credit default swaps to settle up. Analysts say some of those sellers could have a hard time coming up with the cash. Marketplace's Amy Scott explains.
Let's say that back when Lehman Brothers was still Lehman Brothers, I bought some of its bonds. I may have also bought some insurance on those bonds so that if anything went wrong with Lehman, I'd get my money back. That insurance is called a credit default swap. And as we know, something did go wrong. Today is the day that whoever sold insurance on Lehman Brothers has to pay up. Estimates of the total price tag range from $6 billion to hundreds of billions. Puneet Sharma follows the credit markets at Barclays Capital in London. He says given the losses many hedge funds and banks have already suffered, some may have trouble raising the money.
We've seen unprecedented moves in the market across asset classes. And I think this could just be the straw which breaks the camel's back.
Trouble is, it's hard to know just who the camels might be. The credit default swap market is largely unregulated, so no one really knows who owes what to whom and how much. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
This election year, we've asked voters around the country what they're hoping from the next president and Congress when it comes to economic policy. In the final part of our series, Interested Parties, we hear from Cynthia Guillen. She emigrated from Mexico with her family when she was 8 years old. Today, she's 28, a naturalized citizen and attending college to become a high school history teacher.
I'm really just scared how the economy is going. There's really hard to find any jobs that at least are not necessarily backbreaking and washing dishes at this point. Tuition, they raise the prices for tuition. I basically had to borrow money, and I don't even know how I'm going to pay for my books. I feel like I've been fighting and struggling for many years, and I feel like it's coming to nothing. For example, my husband and I, we don't make a lot of money. They're telling me that I can't even get any kind of financial aid because we make too much money. But there's no possible way that we do because we could barely survive. I think there's too much money leaking into the war. They should start investing more on education to bring up the economy.
Continuing on Interested Parties, lots of people agree that our school system isn't up to snuff, and the Wall Street bailout and possible second stimulus package won't leave much wiggle room for more federal help. Steve Henn looks at what education advocates and parents do and don't want from the next president and Congress.
Washington, D.C., and its deeply troubled public school system have become a living laboratory for half a dozen controversial ideas about education reform. Why here?
The short answer is we're failing.
Jason Camras works for D.C. Public Schools. A couple years ago, he was named National Teacher of the Year. Right now, he's working for the school system's chancellor on a pay-for-performance teacher contract, the likes of which have never been seen.
We're putting an extra $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 per year in base and bonuses on the table, and that, I think, does change the picture.
Under the proposed plan, a 20-something teacher could earn six figures in an inner-city public school. But if they fail, they're gone. And Camras is fine with that.
Low-performing teachers should not be making more money.
Many ideas being tried here, like charter schools or paying teachers or even students for performance, have their roots in an entrepreneurial, almost market-driven approach to education. Camras and other reformers like Greg Cork say there's a place for federal money to encourage experimentation.
Why would you oppose that?
Cork's daughter goes to one of the best public schools in the city.
the stark contrast between what was available to her and what was available to folks in Anacostia, southeast, northeast, elsewhere in the city, troubled me. And I just felt like I wanted to do something about it.
So Cork gave up his career as a corporate lawyer and now runs the only federally funded charter school voucher program in the country. His group uses $12 million federal dollars a year to offer roughly 1,700 low-income D.C. kids scholarships to private schools. He says it's transforming lives.
That fundamental issue of fairness just keeps, I keep coming back to the fundamental issue of fairness.
While Cork and Camras are taking totally different approaches to education reform, they agree on two things. The only thing that really matters is giving every kid a quality education, and federal cash has a role to play. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Share your thoughts at marketplace.org. Be sure to look for the interested parties link. All right, just making sure you have everything you need for the day, like your dollar coins. Mm-hmm, that's what I thought. The U.S. Mint is launching yet another advertising campaign to get you to start using dollar coins. This time, a new message. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
The latest ad from the U.S. Mint starts off with Lady Liberty walking through New York City to buy a hot dog with $2 coins.
They last for decades, are 100% recyclable, and using them now could save our country billions of dollars.
The environmental plea is the Mint's latest attempt to hawk the dollar coin to consumers. But economist Robert Waples at Wake Forest University says regardless of the message, Americans just prefer bills.
The public right now is voting with their pocketbook and saying, there's these two things in circulation. We like this other one better. We're using it. We're showing you that we like it better by using it.
Waples says the only way to get people to switch to coins is by following in the footsteps of the Europeans and getting rid of the notes altogether. New faces on the coins won't cut it, he says. After all, if the faces of Washington and Jefferson couldn't convince the public, what makes the Mint think William Henry Harrison and James K. Polk will? In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
If you use coins, we'd like to hear about that too. Again, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
Credit default swaps. You know them, you don't exactly love them. For Lehman Brothers, it's time to pay up, but how much?
If the amount owed is lower than expected, that could unfreeze the credit markets because it will demonstrate that the system was set up to protect itself.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Payday for some Lehman Brothers bondholders. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.